Welcome to this third video in our subjective reality mini course. Maybe not so mini given the length of some of these videos. Please watch the first two videos if you haven't already, because this third video continues and builds upon what we established in those first two. So the first video was about the early phase of the subjective reality journey and also defining what subjective reality is and contrasting it with objective reality. The second video is about the middle part of that phase, which we call the rabbit hole. Once you're inside the rabbit hole and exploring it, what's there and what are the challenges you experience in that part of your journey. This third video is called Wonderland, and this is about the more advanced phase of your subjective reality journey. And how do you continue to integrate subjective reality into your life and to up-level how you use it? What are the unique and interesting problems and challenges that you have on this phase? So let's go over some of those problems and challenges as you've been practicing subjective reality for a long time, perhaps for years even, maybe even more than a decade. You've been delving into the possibility that you're living in some kind of dream world or some kind of simulation. What then comes to the forefront in terms of problems and challenges? One of them, as I mentioned at the end of the second video, is just getting more clarity on your desires. And as odd as that seems, there's a new level of clarity that needs to emerge here, which is a co-creative form of clarity. Asking not just as an individual, what do I actually want, but asking, what can I create together in flow, in harmony, in alignment with this dream world, with this simulator? And a lot of that has to do with focusing on your relationship with the world, with the simulation that you find yourself inside of. What do you actually want? You may find that at this phase of your journey, your individual desires become less interesting and less important to explore. It's not just about creating pleasure and safety and security and happiness for yourself as an individual. That pursuit burns out after a while. It no longer gives you a sense of deeper meaning and purpose. And so you start looking for deeper meaning and purpose somewhere else. And where you look to is not just within yourself, even not just within your own heart alignment, but into some greater form of alignment with the simulation. And it's a bit of a conversation that emerges as you discover what clarity means to you at this phase of your life. Thinking bigger is another challenge. Like, how do you aim higher? What more is possible? Once you've gotten to a point of manifesting all kinds of interesting experiences and you're living a rich and interesting life and you've found how to do some kind of co-creative thing with the simulator you find yourself in or the dream world, then what? Then where do you take that? What more is possible for you? When you get a better sense of confidence that you can find the flow and lock into it, and even though you may still drift now and then and you still make some mistakes, you're getting better with consistency and you're getting more capable of finding that flow again and bringing yourself back to it. Now, how do you expand the possibility space? How do you stretch beyond what you've done before? How do you make bigger asks and how do you keep progressing and not get stuck in a rut and not plateau? How far do you take this? What does your best really look like here? And how do you balance your desires and your up-leveling with still having peace and creating an interesting life and having good relationships, keeping the good things that you like and that you want to maintain in your life and still stretching yourself to go for something new, different, expansive, not necessarily and probably not just more of the same? Another challenge here is, how do you keep expanding your imagination? When you realize that a big part of your limit is what you can actually dream up, what you can conceive of, how do you move beyond conceiving things in the way you've done in the past and find a new way, or maybe several new ways, of conceiving, of coming up with new and fresh ideas? How original are your thoughts? Regardless of what phase of your journey you're on right now, how original would you say your ideas are? Where do you even get your ideas? You may find, as I have, that they're often just a combination of things I've already been exposed to before. Even when I think I'm being the most original I can be, it still feels like it's just a derivative progression from ideas I encountered elsewhere. And yeah, maybe the simulator was training me with those ideas. That was a good phase to move through. but can I level up my game in terms of creation and imagination? Can I start to stretch myself and come up with new tools and new ways of conceiving of the inconceivable, conceiving of things I haven't seen yet? Can you dream up something wildly imaginative? And then when you do that, if you can do that, how do you hold that vision? How do you make the unreal real with reality's cooperation? That's a really cool part of this more advanced phase of the journey, is being able to explore these types of problems and questions. Now, even if you're just beginning on this path, or even if you're just watching this video series because you're curious about it and you're not even sure what the heck this is, then this gives you a taste of where the progression leads. And a common problem on any path of personal growth is that if you don't embrace on some level the advanced part of the journey, it's hard to progress in the early part of the journey. If you can see where the advanced part of the progression takes you and it scares you and you're not willing to accept those kinds of challenges, you'll resist even beginning, or you'll go partway and you'll get stuck. And it's your willingness to embrace eventually the advanced challenges, embracing challenges like, how am I going to stretch my imagination? How far can I take this? How can I come up with new co-creative forms of clarity? How can I think bigger? And those can be scary challenges. Like, yeah, on the one hand, the creative aspect sounds cool. Like, yeah, let's up-level our creativity. But what if up-leveling your creativity means facing your fears? What if it means doing things you were previously afraid of? What if it means stretching your character in ways that don't feel comfortable for you? What if it means going outside your comfort zone again and again and again? Do you really think you can be wildly creative and express that without stepping far outside your comfort zone? And how far and how long can you stay outside your comfort zone and not want to retreat back to the old familiar place that you've been before? Well, let's cover some solutions. How do you resolve these issues? What do you do about them? How do you stretch your imagination and such? Well, first, I think it's good to focus even more deeply on a graduation from individual level creation to co-creation. And in fact, this is a place where you may start to leave behind the sense of being an individual creator, and now you begin to think of teamwork, especially in your relationship with reality. It's not about being a competitor, but it's about being more cooperative with your reality. One of the traps in this phase is seeing people that seem more advanced than you and feeling jealous of them and comparing yourself and thinking that that's a bad thing for you. Like, you're inadequate, you don't measure up, somebody's way ahead of you. And the simulator or your reality will continue to bring you those kinds of experiences where it seems like, oh, you thought you were advanced? Well, here's somebody who's just 10 times, 100 times further down your path. And it makes you seem like you're just a newbie all over again. Instead of letting yourself succumb to envy in those situations or resistance, see that as a really powerful invitation from reality. See it as reality saying, you can step up into this kind of experience too. You can up your game. It's not going to be an easy path, but everyone I'm putting out there is a mentor to you. See that as the message from reality. See it as like, this is an invitation for you to level up your own game. It's not about competing. It's not about who's best or anything like that. That's more the objective side of framing this. The subjective side is that reality is your mentor, and it's continuing to manifest this mentorship through humans in your life that invite you to new experiences. And you can push those experiences away, or you can embrace them. So a big aspect of this also is to actually connect with people deliberately, to seek them out, to cooperate with this kind of invitation and say, all right, reality, you're bringing me these invitations to step into something new, to up my game, to stretch my imagination. And it scares me a bit, but you know what? I see where you're going with this. I see this as part of my hero's journey, and I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to run with it. And not only am I going to tolerate it and say yes to it, maybe a grudging yes, I'm going to try to get past that begrudging phase and actually invite it deliberately. I'm actually going to try to seek out the people that scare me and spend more time with them. This is really hard to do if your attitude's mired in the objective model of reality, because you're probably going to be a person who's comparing yourself to others and feeling competitive and maybe feeling a bit undeserving of these types of connections or just threatened by them. Makes you feel inadequate, like you don't measure up. When people achieve in a week what you achieve in a year, hanging out with such people as that, that's it, you know, just the type of impact or ripples they may create in this reality. That reality is showing you this as an invitation is hard to step into. But it's easier to do it with a subjective alignment. Then you can see that, hey, life is rich in mentors. It's rich in invitations to grow. There's a relationship I have with my reality, and it's dangling me these carrots to say yes to them. So the challenge here is don't just say yes to the easy friends. Say yes to the difficult friends, to the social networking that scares you. Mix it up a bit, you know, create a new social network that is going to cause you to level up, essentially, and continue to do that. Continue to stretch yourself to socially and environmentally be outside your comfort zone. Let's talk about how you define a full match versus a partial match. This is part of the solution space as well. You've probably gotten used to, on your journey by now, saying no to the partial matches and dismissing them and looking for the full match. And quite often the full match shows up. But even in a more advanced phase, you might get to a point where it seems like there's a bunch of partial matches showing up and the full matches you're asking for are not really coming through. But there's also something odd about these partial matches. It's like you're requesting a 5-star product on a scale of 1 to 5, and you keep seeing 4-star products showing up. And yet, even though they seem like 4 stars and not quite what you wanted, a bit of a partial match, if you were to look deeper into them, you would see that missing star is actually not something that really matters, and that 4-star is really like a true 5-star, but it just seems like it's missing something. Because what you've asked for in your intention has something in it that's not really what you need. It has something that is still too much in your comfort zone. And so you're likely to see some apparent partial matches show up. But in your mind, you're going to think they're partial matches, while in your emotions or your intuition, there's going to be something about it that tells you to say yes to it. And this is a place of, you know, a challenge to step into a deeper form of trust there. Of thinking, you know, I went through this phase of needing to establish strong boundaries to build my character, and I needed to say no to partial matches. I needed to sculpt out who I am. But now you've probably reached a point in your journey where you've become so strong in your character that the partial matches are no longer such a threat to you. And so reality can bring you what seem like partial matches. And instead of rejecting them, you can actually say yes to them and find the full match within them. It's sort of about reality bringing you full matches in disguise and you doing a better job of seeing past the surface impressions and deeper into the trust, like, now just about anybody could be a full match if reality brings them to me. And you begin to trust that feeling of alignment within you. And this is a, you know, if you just hear this out of context, it may be tricky to accept, but what flows along with this, part of the solution is focusing on mutual trust in your relationships. So this shows up in focusing on mutual trust in your relationship with reality as a whole. But where you want to seek the full matches is going to be probably different than how you did it in the past. In the past, you might have looked for certain forms of compatibility, like lifestyle compatibility, alignment of values and interests and things like that there. And instead, in a more advanced phase of your journey, what you want is to focus on matching with people that you can really trust, like really deeply trust. And that's how you up-level your game. People who will be deeply honest with you. People who actually will genuinely love you and care about you as you are. And people who will empower you. And you can trust that they'll do those things. You can trust that they'll be honest. You can trust that they will care. And you can trust that they will seek to empower you rather than to disempower you. And that opens you to a new class of relationships, a new way of relating with people, not just about compatible interests, hobbies, work, things like that, but deeper honesty, deeper love, and deeper empowerment for yourself. It's much like the hero in a story may attract characters that will be on their side, that they can really trust. But personality-wise, there may be all kinds of conflicts. There may be all kinds of ridiculous incompatibilities, and yet you can trust them. You know, how compatible were, say, Luke Skywalker and Han Solo in the Star Wars movies? Well, you know, they sometimes rubbed each other the wrong way. They make sarcastic commentary towards each other. But could they trust each other? Absolutely. You know, eventually they could trust each other with their lives. And it's that kind of relationship that I think this phase invites you to focus on. It leads you to a really interesting place. It leads you to a fresh new way of exploring your character journey and your character sculpting path. Think of it as shifting to high trust relationships. And it's really fascinating how trust can flow through your life. When you focus on relationships with people you can trust, and you see that as enough to get you a five-star match, it changes how you define partial matches, and it changes how you define full matches. This is a phase I happen to be exploring in my life as well. I find things like lifestyle compatibility somewhat less important than I did in the past. And now as I connect with people, I think about wanting to spend more time and spend more time connecting with people that show the potential for a really deep, high trust relationship. That's showing up in my personal life and professional life. And it's really interesting because in the past, I would do business with people based more on compatibility in terms of like, okay, we have similar values or similar goals or similar aims and we can work together. But these days I keep thinking it's more about trust than anything else. It's like the compatibility doesn't even necessarily have to be as strong as it did in the past if the trust has the potential to really get strong. And it's an interesting way of framing reality, of framing life. For instance, if you have a job right now, how much do you trust the people you work with? How much do you trust the company? Do you work there because it is upping your trust game, because it's one of the most trusting places you could work? You know, who knows? Maybe not. So it depends on where you work, of course. What would it be like if you worked with a company and worked with people where the top value was trust, where people trusted each other, where they were honest, where they cared about each other genuinely, not just fake caring, not just pretending to care, not just putting on the mask of like, yeah, I care. But actually really caring and really wanting to empower each other. What would it be like to work in that kind of environment? If you don't say no to the partial match of a low trust environment, how are you ever going to experience the high trust one? And this is the challenge of, I think the more advanced phase, especially with subjective reality, is this strong desire and the strong leaning towards higher trust relationships across the board in your life. Because higher trust relationships with people is a reflection of a higher trust relationship with reality. If you actually want to have a better relationship with reality, a more trusting relationship, a more flowing and aligned relationship, one way to do that is focus on up-leveling the degree of trust in your human relationships. Focus on creating higher trust relationships with human beings and shifting away from those low trust relationships. Trust is a form of alignment. It's a way of relaxing into your relationship with life, with reality. How many people do you really deeply trust? And how many people really trust you? And I think for many people, the answer on both of those is zero, maybe one. What would it be like if you had dozens or hundreds of people that you really trust and who really trust you? That would take your life to a whole different level, wouldn't it? It would empower a new experience of co-creation, a new level of your hero's journey. So that is one thing to focus on in this more advanced phase, is improving the level of trust in your human relationships. And that will carry over, especially into your connection with reality, your ability to manifest, your ability to create, to co-create. How can you co-create powerfully with other people, through other people, through the simulator, if that co-creative energy can't flow through trust, right? You can't. It's a place of stuckness. So this is something to work on in this phase of your journey. Another thing to focus on here is to go deeper into your character sculpting journey. So see that you've been on this journey of creating a character. By now, you probably have a fairly strong character, maybe one you actually like playing a lot. So the question to ask yourself is, what would your character like to become next? What else could you be? Ask yourself, what's grown stale or has gotten too easy? What is it that's, you know, made you who you are up to this point, but it can't carry you into the next phase? What else would you like to become? Where would you like to take this journey through life? I've been following a path of personal growth for many years, and it's taken an interesting turn a while back, and just wanting to do more co-creative experiences, not just workshops, not just writing articles for my blog or making a video here or there, but doing really deep, intense, meaningful dives into various aspects of personal growth that are perhaps a bit unusual, doing them in a unique way and doing them co-creatively. That's been a big part of my own character journey. And it sculpts my character. It changes who I am to take on these types of projects. It stretches me creatively. It really makes me rack my brain and just like blow every neural circuit trying to figure things out that in the past I would have found a little too intimidating to try to create a project on, around certain ideas. Too big, too vast, too many possibilities. And instead, thinking of it as like, hey, if there's high trust with the people I'm doing this experiment with or this exploration with, this deep dive, this journey, if I do it with the right people, then it's going to work. And if I do it with the wrong people, it won't work. And so I realized that it's not about the product, the service, especially in business. It's about the people and our alignment. It's about that trust. And if I could play that kind of character, it's going to sculpt me in a really interesting way to be able to do these kinds of projects that I can't do with the wrong people, but I can do them with the right people. It helps me become a more creative person. And I didn't really until recently see such a powerful connection between creative ability and trust. It's an interesting thing to ponder. As any kind of artist, imagine how much more creative you could be if you were creating for people with whom you shared a really strong bond of trust. You trust them to be honest, you trust them to be caring, to genuinely care about you, and you trust them to help empower you. That is not an easy space in which to be a creator. That can be a very demanding audience to serve. It can be a very demanding group to connect with. And yet it can also be an incredibly growth-oriented one to connect with. So that's one of the ways I'm just sharing it as an example of how I thought about like what kind of character would I like to play and how does it connect with these other solutions on this part of the subjective reality journey. How do we continue to up-level our trust and see all the amazing ripples that creates and what else becomes possible for our character when we have a high trust relationship with life? What kind of character would you like to play? What else would you like to add to your character or maybe overcome? One interesting standard to consider is, would you like to play an addiction-free character? Do you have any addictions, bad habits left? Anything you keep hidden there? What would it be like to let go of all addictions? All repetitive behavior that doesn't serve you. You know, the kind of thing you do compulsively and perhaps that you hide, perhaps that you even have some shame or guilt over. What would it be like to finally let go of all of those? One by one, use your creative power to break off those pieces, to chip off those unwanted bits of your character, of your personality? What would it be like to finally play a totally addiction-free character, giving you more freedom of choice, letting you choose what you want to do in the moment? And you can also accept invitations from reality to sculpt your character in different ways. You can invite reality to bring you ideas and bring you possibilities to add some extra flavor to your character. And be open-minded about what shows up. You can always just request an open-ended type of invitation. And when such an invitation shows up, and if you don't like it, you can say no to it. But if it's something interesting and you're feeling a little adventurous, you can flow with it and see what it does for your character, such as traveling for an extended period in places you've never been to before, working in a new environment. There are lots of different ways to open yourself up to different parts of your personality exploration. And also think about the story progression, not just your character in isolation, but how does your character fit the story you're on? Where does your story seem to want to go? Story is a lens that merges the objective and the subjective together. It's a more balanced way of thinking about life because a story has the objective element, the elements, the events, the situations, the scenes that play out, the characters and so on. But a story also has an inner journey, especially for the protagonist or the hero, if there's a hero in the story. What is the inner experience of following that path? And this is something to gain more awareness of as you continue down your subjective reality journey, is don't just think of, as an isolated series of manifestations and trying to create things and create a little bit here and create a little bit there, but realize that as you do this, there's a bit of a progression. You become someone different through the challenges you take on, and you have a story that unfolds, your life story. And this story is something that you co-create with your reality. And so you can begin to take more responsibility, not just for living the story and acting the story, but actually for writing the story. Not by forcing it as just an individual writer, but basically by seeing reality as your team with which you can work, and balancing what you see as needs from the world, places where you can provide value, and also what you want as an individual. How do you create that balance? How do you co-create your story with reality? What makes for interesting story? If you allow your story to get boring, that's where you can start feeling stuck and stagnant. And one way out of that is just to ask yourself, what would create interesting story for me next? Where does my story want to go is a question I often ask myself. Try asking that one to yourself. Where does my story want to go? As if your story has a life of its own. And what's really cool, again, about asking that question based on story is that it actually blends in the objective and the subjective together. So when you ask, where does my story want to go, it's considering both lenses at the same time. It's a really great and empowering question for breaking yourself out of stuckness and coming up with some new creative answers. You may be surprised at the answers that come to you when you ask that question, where does my story want to go? Not where do I want to take my story, but where does my story want to go? As if it had a life of its own or a consciousness or a will of its own. So I'll ask you that. Where does your story want to go? And to invite more character growth, invite more challenge. Invite a more challenging story into your life. That can attract more fun, more aliveness, more adventure. It can also be a bit scary, but it's the scary stuff that often sculpts your character in really interesting ways. You become the character who has done those scary things. They become part of you. They become part of your memories about who you are. They become part of the story of who you are. Just assume, for instance, that reality is trying to help you create an amazing character that you love to play, and say yes to those kinds of invitations when they show up. See, the key here is really not just letting reality train you, but inviting reality to train you. And one of the ways it does that is through relationships that you trust. The more you lean into trusting reality, the more vulnerable you become, in a way, to invitations to up-level your character, to up-level your journey, to up-level your experience of life. The more you pull back and don't trust, then the more you close off the flow, the more you disconnect from what's possible. You want to up-level your imagination, lean further into trust, lean further into asking where your story wants to go. Now, we've covered in the previous videos, including in this video, a number of problems and solutions in each phase of the journey. This is to, you know, share a lot of the what of this journey, like the, you know, the not just an overview, but really share a good bit of depth. I mean, these videos, I think, are pretty hefty in terms of all the different topics they cover and how much depth they go into. I hope I'm doing an adequate job of just conveying the tremendous richness of this path. And what I think subjective reality is really about is, as you transition from the objective way of seeing life, on the objective side, you're seeing yourself as an individual, isolated and cut off from really tremendous streams of power and energy, especially creatively. And when you lean into the subjective side, what's really at stake here is your power as a creative being, not so much as a creative individual, but part of a creative universe, and being able to tap into this universal creative energy and flow with it and dance with it and using it to create a powerful path that's also aligned with truth and with love, feeling courageous, feeling like you're following this path with a heart, feeling alive, having this co-creative power flowing through you and coursing through your life. And it feels like it's not just coursing through your body, but it's flowing through your environment, through your reality. You become a person who attracts and invites and experiences a reality that's just rich in alignment, in harmony, in flow, but also in tremendous challenge, in tremendous invitations to continue to up-level, to continue to keep the journey fresh and new and exciting. It's like the hero's journey that just has no end. There's always a new challenge. There's always a new level to explore. And if you've been struggling a lot to, find this path on your own, to get to this place of alignment, well, that's part of the lesson to learn. It's part of the process of graduating from trying to do everything yourself as an individual. Working as an individual, making decisions as an individual, is good. It's a good phase of life. It's a phase of life we all go through, our individuality intact. But as you develop a stronger character, then life is going to present you invitations to something new, to something beyond that, to not just individual creativity, not just individual expression, but co-creative expression. It'll basically give you a ticket to the dance is what happens there. So where do you take this next? This is, of course, a form of an invitation. When you begin to explore subjective reality, you have, several options. One option is you spit out the red pill and you go back to the blue pill. You say, screw all this. It's too much for me. I'm just going to go back to my life, back to my own world. And, that's an option. Yes, you can do that. Maybe this comes up in a time in your life where you're just not ready for it, and that's your choice. And you can do that, and it's okay, but eventually you're likely to graduate from that phase, okay? So the blue pill is temporary. It's not really, I think, where the full richness of life comes into play, but you can take it. You can opt out of the matrix world, and you can go back to your objective life. But if you've been exposed to what the wizarding world or the matrix world or the dream world is like, what potential it has, you may find that blue pill very distasteful and dissatisfying after a while. Another option is to do what my approach was for many years, which is to take the red pill, but really as an individual. You're taking it by yourself. You don't have Morpheus there. You don't have your team. You're just Neo who found this pill and you take it. And now you're like, okay, now what? But there's nobody else around. And you have to figure out the whole thing by yourself. It's like you're the very first person who wakes up from the matrix and you get spit out and you're like, now what? Where the heck am I? And you can step back into the world, but you're the only one who seems to know something more about what's going on, and you don't understand it. There's so many details because there have been no teammates, nobody else there before you to fill in the gaps, to answer your questions. It's just you figuring it out on your own. That is a valid path of exploration. And a third option here, and this is an option that I want to actively and shamelessly invite you to explore, which is taking the co-creative red pill, which is to take the red pill, not by yourself, but with support from me, from other people, to actually create something together, to explore this path as a team. And I'm going to share more about that in the next video. And the next video is going to be an offer, and it's an offer on multiple levels. It's an offer objectively. So it's for objectively a paid program on exploring subjective reality together in a deep dive fashion for 60 days. 60 days with a whole bunch of extra gifts and bonuses and things like that. So in an extra video, I'll share that offer. The video is mainly about, like, here's the invitation and here's what we can explore together. It's going to be a gentle way of exploring subjective reality. It's not going to be pushing or scary or anything like that. I'll share more about the intention, the vibe, all of it. Very straightforward, no nonsense. The next video is not going to be, it's not going to be salesy or pushy or anything like that, because the whole point of this is to do it only with people who really genuinely feel aligned with this type of exploration. So it would actually be counterproductive, and it would actually violate the subjective reality way of framing it if we were trying to push people into this. Instead, it's got to be an invitation, and it's got to be your choice to do it. If you feel aligned with this kind of exploration, great. Watch the next video and you'll learn all about the details. And if you've come this far and you realize, okay, this is not my cup of tea, I don't really want to invest in this type of thing and take it further, no problem. That's totally your choice. And I wish you well. So why would you want to do something deeper? Well, I think it can especially help with consistency, because we're going to be focusing on daily practice. Like, every day you'll have an audio to listen to, and that will be part of the experience of the deep dive. That's the main part of it, is like every day an audio, and the audio will have lessons about subjective reality as well as at least one exercise to do. Some of them have multiple exercises to do. And some of these are thought exercises, framing exercises. They're actually fairly straightforward and easy to apply, and that they don't really take a lot of courage or anything like that to do it. It's not like about, going up and approaching random strangers on the street and trying to start a conversation. It's not about pushing yourself past those fears and things like that. It's more about seeing reality in a different way. It's actually about creating a more trusting relationship with reality, which is a really cool angle to explore a path of personal growth. So the main result, if we would say there is an objective result we're looking for here, is a permanent lock-in of a stronger and more trusting relationship with reality. I hope I've conveyed through this video series the importance of trust and just how powerful it can be when you up-level your ability to trust reality and to feel that reality even trusts you as well, that there is a powerful relationship dynamic there happening. So that's what we're really going to be exploring. I think one of the key benefits of this is that it can help you feel, maybe for the first time in your life even, truly at home here. If you're one of those people that feels a bit alien in this planet, like nobody really gets you, I understand that. That used to be me as well. In my early 20s, in my late teens, I was very much like that. And reality invited me to something more. And I was a bit shocked because I didn't feel like I deserved it. I didn't feel like I was ready for that kind of experience. And it was a real stretch for me to say yes to that. But I did, and that journey's been going for decades now, and it's just, it's incredible how much progress you can make on your hero's journey when you say yes to that kind of invitation from reality. So part of the framing of this is, it is a subjective one as well. You can see me as a representative of your reality coming to you and saying, I would actually like to have a closer and more trusting relationship with you. And I want to make an offer and an invitation that I feel is very authentic, but it comes in the form of one of those red pill, blue pill choices. There is an investment to make. it's not too expensive. I'll share the pricing and all that in the next video. But I think you'll find it actually pretty easy to say yes to it if you're aligned with it. It's not meant to be a barrier or anything like that, but it is meant to be a trust challenge because it's designed for people who want to co-create together, and that requires trust. So this is not about scraping up all the people who are barely interested and pushing them to buy. This is about finding the people who are really aligned and making it a really just ridiculously easy yes for them. So that's the intention here. So your choice, you can go on to the next video, and I'm telling you right up front, it is an offer, it is an invitation, both objectively and subjectively. And you can accept, if you like it, my invitation to guide you through this one day at a time and to co-create the experience for the next 2 months. I think you'll like it. So if you feel so inclined, I'll see you in the next video.